Hello and welcome to Digital Logic PC Gaming Podcast with Ender's Logic, Flopsy, and your host, Robert Digital. Now turn your game volume down, your earbuds up, and fucking enjoy.
Welcome back, guys. Things are going to be a little different this time around. We are not recording together. Chad is out of town, so we are all on Skype doing this. So we apologize for any audio issues or anything that sounds weird, but we're going to do our best.
Hey, what up, guys?
Yo, what's going on?
So what? Before we even get into this, let's just talk about what kind of equipment are you guys using? Because I'm on... I don't know about my mic. I like it. I think it's good. It's used by a lot of streamers, but I don't know. It kind of picks up audio weird. It's the Audio-Technica AT2020, real common mic. What are you guys using?
I'm rocking the Sony Gold, I believe it is. And this is the older generation, right, Chad?
Yeah, I believe so.
And I've said it many times. This is my. It might have surpassed my mouse. I don't know. My mouse and my headphones are probably the equal as my favorite peripherals ever. They're really good.
And I myself am sitting on my parents' Macintosh.
Does it actually say Macintosh instead of like Apple?
It's one of those all-in-ones where the monitor is also the computer, you know?
Which is pretty sweet. I like that idea.
Yeah.
It's got the wireless keyboard and mouse. It looks nice, but for us, you know, people with a little bit of technical know-how, it would suck. Like, you can't do any sort of modification on these things.
Yeah, so. They're very difficult to work on, too. It's hard to crack those things open.
And, Bob, like, when people that have no computer experience at all, when they're asking me questions, and, you know, I hardly know anything, but just as a general rule, I say, if you game, get a PC. And if you're not going to game, get a Mac. Do you generally agree with that?
Generally, but that's really starting to change. I mean, Macs are supporting more and more games now. There's quite a few games that I can run on my Mac, although I will say they don't run as well. And I'm not just talking about performance. I'm just talking about stability.
You also pay the Apple tax, you know? Like, everything Apple makes is 20 to 30% higher than it should come.
Yeah, but they do last longer, I will say that. Like, you've got a lot longer lifespan, especially when it comes to laptops. Maybe desktops, that's a different thing, but laptops definitely last longer.
Yeah.
You can sell a MacBook Air that's 5 years old for like $800 or something.
And retain value.
Good luck selling a laptop, or like a Windows laptop. Good luck.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a paperweight.
Yeah, you couldn't give those away.
Yeah.
All right. So, again, like the week before, we want to mention our new logo looking very good. I'm really growing into it. I like it.
It's starting to grow me, too.
We've had the old one for so long that when I see the new one on our Steam group and on our podcast, it's like, damn, it kind of surprises me a bit. But if you want to get a hold of the guy who did that for us, that's Manuel_808@gmail.com.
Yeah, our buddy Rudy. He did a good job.
Yep. Yeah.
All right. So we didn't get – a lot of people signed up for the listener spotlight, but we didn't get around to doing one. It's been a crazy week for us. That's why we're doing it this way and, barely squeaking this one out. So next week we'll be a lot more organized. Also, thanks to all the new listeners. Hit up our website if you haven't done so already. That's dlgaming.net. There's some links in there to help support us. But let's get this show on the road, huh?
Yep.
Well, regarding the listener spotlight, you know, please, you know, go to the website, sign up. We're going to try to do one a week if we can. Trying to get
the Steam group.
The Steam group. We're just trying to get you to know you guys, hopefully as well as you guys know us. So that's kind of the goal of that. Before we get into games, just wanted to mention I'm up here for a specific reason. I'm up in the Bay Area, California. I'm up here because I have a cousin that does film work, and he just put the finishing touches on this 10-minute fan film for The Lookouts, which is a comic web, a Penny Arcade web comic. Do you guys know The Lookouts?
That sounds familiar.
It's the one where they're like Cub Scouts, but it's like a fantasy Cub Scouts.
Yeah, okay.
Oh, and you know, each one is like a real
And they're fighting the Basilisk. They got the whole thing with like, is it real or is it not real? And so
anyway, is this thing animated or is it live action?
No, live action, 10 minutes. My cousin's put 2 years of work into this thing.
Wow.
And rented out the Castro Theater. We were all in like tuxes and stuff. It was down to the nines. It was awesome. But I bring it up for a specific reason that it's actually, he's planning on releasing it out to the public, you know, for free or whatever. I think he's going to use Vimeo or whatever, but I will tell you guys next week. If you want to watch this 10-minute, if you're into Penny Arcade and you like Lookouts or whatever, you can watch this for free online as soon as I find the link, as soon as he sends me the link, I'll give it out to you guys and you guys can check it out. But it's pretty impressive. I was blown away. So.
Cool. Speaking about fan films and gaming, a while ago Chad told me, hey, I should check out some of these fan films. So I did, and then he never did. So. I'm going to save you guys a lot of trouble and narrow it down to not only did I like it, but Sam really liked these particular two as well. There's a lot of stuff out there. There's particularly a website called, what is it? Zombies, Aliens, Monsters. No, what is it?
Is it abbreviated? I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, God damn it. Somebody find that if you can.
No, I remember you telling me about that. Mars. Yeah. Monsters, Aliens, Robot Zombies.
.com. Nice. Yeah. Nice. Cool. So there's a ton of really high quality fan made stuff on there. Some stuff with like, I saw a guy from Game of Thrones on there and just some really, really good stuff. And a lot of these you've probably seen here and there. But anyway, going back to the game ones, there's a Portal one. My favorite one probably that I saw was Portal No Escape. Excellent, excellent.
That was from a couple of years ago. I remember that was around kind of a little bit after Portal, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
Probably Portal 2. And then this is 7 minutes long, so it's not going to waste your time. And it's just really cool. There's another one, Five Nights at Freddy's.
Oh, that one was good?
And it's animated. It's really good. It's excellent. It's creepy. It's creepy. Well, it's exactly like the game. It's like it's supposed to be cute, but it ends up being creepy. Hmm. So that's cool. And
that's a perfect description of you, by the way, Amina.
Nice. And and finally, just recently, The Division came out with a not a fan film, but they produced it, and it's kind of like an origin story type thing. But it's just as kind of nebulous as the game is. Yeah, like. You have guns and there's been this smallpox epidemic and that's about it. Like the movie didn't shed the light on anything. The game doesn't shed light on it. Even though there's all this going on, I don't understand what I'm doing, but anyway, or why I'm doing it. But
well, we'll talk more about that when we speak about our experiences with the Division beta.
Yeah, yeah. So is that wrap that up?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about. Upcoming games.
Hype Train!
Yeah, all right.
So the question we're going to be asking ourselves here is yes or no on these upcoming games. Are we hyped for these? All first right. one up, Far Cry
yes, Primal. Yes.
Far Cry, what is it called?
Far Cry Primal. Yeah. So this is the game people were unsure if this was going to be a standalone like Blood Dragon or if it was going to be a full-featured game. It's Far Cry, but set in a Paleolithic era where there's mammoths and cavemen and dinosaurs, bird-like creatures. Yeah.
Are there dinosaurs?
I don't think there's dinosaurs. No. I would have been a little more excited if had there been dinosaurs, but
gotcha.
I don't know.
Favorite spot. Like it's never used ever. And I'm just fascinated by this time. Right now I'm reading a book, Gun, Germs, and Steel. And a lot of it has to do with this. And then I've got another book called Sapiens. I think a lot of the way we act today was all rooted back down to when we were developing in this era. Not that this is going to be a historical game that we learn off of, but just to see it. I mean, there's nothing. If you think about how many things are based at this time, there's not a whole lot. There's been a few like animated movies that poke fun of it lately.
But like The Croods? Is that the one?
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
That was
I think that actually got nominated for something.
Yeah. Croods and then the dinosaur one, The Good Dinosaur.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah. And so, anyway, it's one of my favorite eras probably ever, but it's so underused. And so I'm really stoked on this game. Even if it looks like the same shit where, you know, you survey a camp, you look at the best way to go about it, and then you go and take over the camp. That's cool with me. As long as it's under this new skin, I'm all about it. I don't care what it is. As far as like where it falls, I think it's somewhere between a full-fledged game and, what was the one you mentioned, Bob?
Blood Dragon.
Yeah, Blood Dragon.
It's like a 7-hour standalone.
Yeah, how much was that?
How much did it cost?
Yeah.
$14.99 retail, 14? But you can get it much cheaper than that these days.
I believe this one's $30. This is probably going to be the first game that I buy in like weeks. So it comes out in 2 days, I think. So I've been looking forward to this one, even though and this roller coaster fantastic game just keeps on going. Well, I hope it's fantastic.
Yeah. I have a little interest in playing, but I haven't really played the Far Cry series, so I'm not super hyped for it, and I know I'm missing out on games. Far Cry is a good series and all, and I admit that. I just have not gotten that window where it's like, play this game. So I will probably play it off of Minnow's computer and give it a go, but I'm not as hyped as he is. I couldn't see myself paying $30 for this.
I'm conflicted about this game because the Far Cry series is one of my favorites, but I recently got, and by recently, I mean a month or two, got Far Cry 4. I started playing that and I couldn't really get into it because it was so similar to the other Far Cry games. And I feel like Primal is going to be just that way too. The mechanics of the game are going to be so similar that it's not going to really grab me. But the thing that I really like about, especially these new Far Cry games, is how detailed they are, how much research goes into this. Because the recent one, 4, was set in the Himalayas. And everything from what the players look like to how they speak to their native traditions, all that is in the game. Like they build a culture within a game, which seems like so much work. And I'm interested to see what they're going to do with Primal in that regard. But other than that, there's not a whole lot pulling me towards this game.
Yeah, I've seen a few videos them talking about how much work went into it. And it's exactly that. It's like historians and what do you call people like study old cultures?
Archaeologists.
Yeah, archaeologists and there's another one. But anyway, they're all just talking about, you know, how people at this time would have been doing this and that. So, yeah, maybe it will be a little bit of a history lesson.
Sounds like we're giving this one around a 7 or 8 on the hype meter.
Yeah,
sure, sure. I'm always going to throw it off. I'll throw off the bell curve right here.
You guys are both going to throw it off. I'm the only one with the actual real curve.
I don't know. My hype is reserved. It's modest for that game. Next one up, Hitman, the beta. They're just calling this one Hitman.
So this is kind of a reboot? Is this a reboot?
That's what happens at a certain point. When you get to a point where you can't name something number 5, so you just name it. Like it's the first one.
I don't know. Someone should tell that to Final Fantasy.
Well, they're Japanese now. They're Japanese. They go by their own rules.
Yeah.
I've always wanted to get into Hitmans, but I've never. Every time I've played them, it's always like a couple years after they've come out, and they feel dated, and then I lose interest quickly. So
the only one I played the day it came out, and still felt dated. So it's. I don't think. Is it a big success? I don't think
people play Hitman. They're popular games.
I don't know anybody that plays Hitman. No, I know, but I don't know. I have no idea where it all comes from. I've never talked to anybody who, hey, I just beat Hitman. Not one, ever. So it's one of these things that's just kind of been around.
I played very little Hitman. Whatever the most popular recent one was, I played a little bit of that, but couldn't get into it. This is interesting, though, this new Hitman game, because the way that they're marketing it is kind of an episodic they're selling this for $14.99, then I'm assuming there's going to be another chapter for around the same price. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that works out. But I'd still rather go back and play some of the old Hitman games.
Maybe that's a good move. Maybe a lot of people like us where they know it's a thing but never tried it. Maybe the $14.99 entry fee is a good place for them to start this, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think really for the Hitman ones, it's never been the story to pull me along. You know, like, and that's kind of what's kind of fallen off for me, I think, is, okay, you're a guy doing these hits, but the story about him, like, being in some sort of, like, cult that creates hitmen and stuff like that, that's just never been really interesting to me.
He's the hitman for the Vatican, I believe was the original story.
Yeah, something like that.
And then, pitch.
Like, yeah.
It doesn't sound like that one's ringing any bells or hitting too high on the hype meter.
So Hitman Go is supposed to come out this week. Was that the one that was like a mobile game, Bobby?
Yeah, I don't know about that because Hitman Go, yeah, that's a mobile game and it's been out for quite some time.
Well, now I think they're releasing it on other platforms.
It's coming out to Steam.
Oh, okay. And I'd probably play it more on Steam. I really enjoyed that game. And I've had to restart my progress on that after reformatting my phone. So that's kind of why I stopped playing it.
So maybe you'll pick it up on Steam and play?
Yeah, if the price is right.
Okay. Now, Bob, is it a puzzle game?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a puzzle strategy game. You played Lara Croft Go, right?
Right. I just want to make sure it was the same mechanic.
It's the exact same thing. It almost works better as a mobile game because it's something that you can pick up and play for 2 to 3 minutes and then put down.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But I have no interest. You know, the Lara Croft one just didn't really – I don't know. I wasn't too into it. What I am into it mobile-wise, though, it's called Tomb of the Mask. And actually, some people were tweeting about it, too. It's a killer, killer game with really good 8-bit graphics. You can pick it up for 30 seconds and have a good time. It's awesome. It's perfect for toilets or in cars alike.
What is it called again?
Tomb of the Mask.
All right, I'll check it out. I've been on a little side note. Yes, I said it. Sorry. I am still hooked on Galaxy Heroes. I'm not going to bring it up this week other than to say that it's still ruining my life. So
He plays it so much.
I can't do any mobile games. Like Hitman, there's seriously like one mobile game I play, and that's Hitman Go.
Well, I think you'd really like this Galaxy of Heroes, Bob.
Yeah, I'm sure I would. I don't need another thing that I really like, though.
Especially right now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, next up.
Bobby's considering dropping his girl just so he can play more games.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding.
I think school's got to go before that. That's the real-time crunch right now. But next up, Walking Dead Michonne. I was surprised to see they're doing another Walking Dead.
No interest whatsoever.
Now, they're selling this for $13.49. I haven't looked into it too much. Are they doing more than one chapter with this? Because that's half price compared to their usual games.
Wait, this is another Telltale one, right?
Yes.
I assumed that it was a episodic one, but I have no idea. I haven't done any research. I
only saw two or three.
I'm so uninterested that I didn't even click on it.
Yeah, I have no interest.
They've been promoting it pretty hard on Steam. I'm really over the whole Telltale Walking Dead series, not because they're bad, but just because they've been out for so long and we've already done that and been there. So yeah, I'm not too hyped, although I will say they picked the best character they possibly could. I mean, Michonne is the most popular character in the TV show as far as I know.
Yeah, and she's the only one that I really I want to know how the whole backstory worked. Mm-hmm. But besides those two things, those two things aren't enough for me to pick this up, even for $14.99, probably.
Yeah, I feel like they're just kind of squeezing the sponge here, trying to get the last drops out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. Chad, you might want to pronounce this next one.
All right, the game is called Disgaea. It came out, I think, for PlayStation 2 or maybe PlayStation 3. The reason I bring it up is it's finally coming to PC in an official form. But this game was one of my favorite games back in the day. It's set up in a style similar to – it's a tactic-style game, you know, where it's isometric and you get a certain amount of moves and actions and you got little guys on the board and to be able to do it. But the game you play as kind of like – Lucifer or the son of Lucifer, and he's kind of just lazy. And I don't know, the story is funny and hilarious, and the game has levels of depth that are insane. You can get up to like level 9,999. It's just a crazy game that you could waste your whole life on, but it is a blast to play. So if you are interested in JRPGs, the kind of like, what do you call it? The tactics style. Do you know what I'm talking about, Bobby?
Like Final Fantasy Tactics?
Yeah,
or
where it's like isometric and you have like little characters on the board and you move them around and try to win. This game was a blast. So if you haven't played it, the original version, it's coming to PC and you can play it now. And I'm excited for that.
I'm sorry, Chad, I didn't listen to a word. All right. So next up is Super Hot.
You would like it, Emilio, by the way.
I really like tactics games, actually. Final Fantasy Tactics is one of my favorite games of all time. And
but still a note for you.
No. I honestly was looking at it.
Gotcha.
And until the last end, right when you said tactics, I'm like, oh. So Super Hot is this first-person shooter, and it's got a really interesting mechanic. As far as I understand, it's free-to-play, or it was kind of like somebody had an idea, and they put it out there, and then maybe now it's coming out as a full-fledged game. I don't know if they're going to be charging for it. But it kind of looks a little like, oh my god, I always forget the name of this game where you deliver stuff and you're the Asian girl.
Oh, Mirror's Edge.
Mirror's Edge. So everything's gray and white, and then red is the only color that you can see. It's actually a little even less colors than that game. But anyway, so the mechanic that it has is time only goes forward when you move your physical body. So you would take a shot, and then you move, and the bullets that are flying fly while you take steps. So it's almost like you're playing it at your own pace, but you also have to time out and calculate where you think people are going to be moving. It looks really sweet. And it's not something that I think they could charge too much for, because it seems like just to be a shooter with no story or anything like that. But I would definitely like to check it out for a day or two.
So is it multiplayer or single player?
I believe it's single player.
Okay, because I was just figuring out, there's no way you could do that mechanic as a multiplayer game, right?
I don't think so, no. That's one of those really tough things where if you have a player that has a time warp or whatever, it's really hard to do that in multiplayer. But the one that I've seen it work was, there was a Counter-Strike 2 mod where you could play a bunch of different characters. You remember this, Chad? You could be like a lot of the characters from The Matrix, and
was that a Counter-Strike?
I want to say that's what that was.
Yeah, it was all in rooms, basically, right? It was all like corridors and rooms.
And like rooftops, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, anyway, there was somebody there that could rewind time, and it would actually affect everybody in the bubble around them. And that's the only time I've ever seen it actually work in a multiplayer game.
Yeah, really cool. You kind of have to bubble those kind of mechanics. That's why corridors and rooms work really well with a mechanic like that, because you can bubble the room. And, as you know, so if you're moving around outside of the room, you don't see it. But then when you step in, the time slows down or whatever that has to happen. Yeah, I remember that game. It was kind of interesting. Like, somebody could use their ultimate to slow down time. And if you were in the room, it slowed it down for you as well.
Yeah. Man, that was a cool game.
Yeah, it was.
For the time.
You could grab, like, katanas and stuff. And you also had like different weight amounts, right? So you could be weighted really lightly and move really fast, or really heavy with armor and AKs and all sorts of stuff. But you'd run really fucking slow.
Yeah.
It was like a balance on how you wanted to play it.
Yeah, kind of like Tribes in that way.
Except we can't think of the fucking name, so.
Well, I don't know if it had a name. Well, it was a mod, but, you know, it was never officially released. Anyway, whoever put that together is really talented.
Yep.
Okay, so big story.
Yeah.
So well, that would be the.
Did we come to the conclusion, yes, we're interested on Super Hot, or no, we're not?
Well, I think it's free, so yeah, okay. Fuck yeah. Sure.
Well, it was part of the 7-day FPS challenge where they have a week to make a game. Even if they kind of build upon that, they may get something that's decent, but still, I don't think there's going to be a whole lot to that game. Still, it might be kind of cool.
Hey, Joe, did they optimize Disgaea? Is it like re-graphics and
It's called Disgaea PC, and it looks like they've upped the graphics and resolution and stuff. So I don't know. I haven't actually gotten a chance to play it, but
is it on Steam?
Yeah, it's Steam. It's a Steam-based game.
Sorry if I made you repeat all everything.
Nope, nope.
Okay, so it's called support, buddy. So we played The Division. We dropped the ball last time. It had a open beta, and I played it this time. Bobby, you played it as well?
Yeah. They reset the progress on it, so I played only slightly more than I did last time.
Does it have classic?
Oh, I didn't know you played it last time.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Okay.
Does it have classes, by the way?
You kind of spec into a class.
Yeah, you spec into three different branches.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Although a lot of that is not around. There's a perk system that is completely shut down. There's abilities is open, and then there's one more, something like perks, but that tree is shut down right now, too. It's pretty limited right now. It's a really pretty game. I thought the graphics were really good, especially for a multiplayer game where you're going to be seeing other people. This is one of these few games where, like, you can work on your face for, like, you know, 30 minutes, but it's actually going to matter because I think, people are going to be seeing your face all the time.
While they're teabagging you?
Yeah, while they're teabagging you.
Cool.
So, it's an RPG shooter, which means things like everybody has hit points, bullets do X amount of damage, headshots don't necessarily kill on one shot, although they do a lot more damage. So think like an MMO, like a World of Warcraft with near future equipment, pretty much.
But it's third person shooter, right?
It's third. It's over the shoulder, but yeah, it's third person, which kind of throws things off when you're using a scope. It's really weird because you need to zoom in with right click and then push an additional button to actually look through the scope.
Oh, gotcha.
Which I found really distracting, but you know, it's probably one of those things I'll get used to. I really like the concept, an RPG shooter that's realistic. You know, I'm always going for realism, even if you put me in an unrealistic setting. If you go for realism, I'm into it.
But it's not an MMO. It's not open world, right? Like, you have like a hub, and then you go into like matches or something like that.
We have the dark zones, which it's are a like PvP like zones.
City of Heroes, Chad.
So it is open world.
Yeah. So you got the city that everybody's borrowing and traversing through, and I'm sure there's going to be multiple instances of the city. But then if you go, you know, if you're in a group and you go into the same building, then I'm sure you're going to share that instance. Do you remember? Like you go into.
So how do you guys fight against somebody, or do you fight against PvE? How does this work?
Well, you go into these dark zones, and those are shared as well. So if you go in as a group, you might run into another group of players, but you might not. And then I guess you duke it out in there. Maybe. I don't think you have to fight. You can just avoid each other and run, or however you want to do it.
What are you shooting?
Yeah, people. Well, NPCs.
Yeah. Okay.
You get quests and missions, and you have to go take out, you have to go invade buildings and shoot a bunch of people. But they also. Oh, what's that?
Yeah, it's an MMO. Straight up.
Because I, for some reason, thought it was more like Battlefield or something. So I'm completely wrong. Okay.
Just exactly like City of Heroes, but with guns, pretty much.
That's odd that you're using City of Heroes as the MMO template.
Because it's in a city.
Nobody's thought City of Heroes was cool since City of Heroes came out.
And you go into instances, which are in buildings.
Gotcha. You know what I
mean? Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
What did you think, Bob? I'll just end on this. The thing that really bothered me about this game was I didn't have any friends to play with. I think you really need a squad to go and start doing things with, and I think and then if you ran into another squad, so you know, the best parts of Nether is when we ran into other squads, and then this makes sure that you don't run into other squads until you're ready to run into another squad, which I think is pretty cool. What were your thoughts, Bob?
It's really hard for me to give an honest opinion about it because I don't know too much about it. The beta feels so limited, you know. It feels like you're getting this taste of an RPG, but really how much of the RPG experience can you get in a limited beta that's only open for a short period of time with whole sections cut out? So the combat itself, I got tired of the repetition of that. It almost reminded me a bit of Sniper Elite Nazi Zombie Army 2, which I was talking about last week, where I was just constantly trying to just get headshots off these NPCs and just straining the hell out of my hand. But I don't know.
Is it an ability-based shooter? Are you pushing 1, 2, 3, 4, or is it
you do have abilities. It's mostly shooting, but you do have a few abilities based on how much of your talent tree you've worked down and what branch you've gone into. So I have obviously did the medic, and I had one that could scan and see people in areas. Then I got one that could heal people. I didn't play with a group of people too, like Emilio was saying. So I feel like I was missing out on a big part of the experience of that as well.
So are you ammo constrained, or is it more like Overwatch where you can just blast away?
Yeah, you can blast away. You do have ammunition, but people drop ammunition as you kill them, so it's not really that big of a factor.
And the other thing, I don't think that being a medic makes you any less offensive than any other class.
No.
Maybe it would, but you're pretty much using the exact same guns. But the guns themselves have tons of mods, tons and tons of mods, and you can work on them. And I'm usually not into crafting at all, but these all seem realistic, and they all seem to, like, grant bonuses. So I think the difference, Bobby, I can see how the shooting could get repetitive, but the thing that I like, this is like any other game, man. I love getting gear. I love upgrading. You see a blue drop and you run over. I'm like, oh, what is this? You know?
It's more RP. It's more MMO than it is shooter then.
For sure. But the delivery of the combat is shooting. I'm digging it.
Is it similar to what was that game that we were playing where it had the show that came out with it? What was that called again?
Defiance.
Defiance. Is it similar to Defiance?
It feels a lot like Defiance with more of an urban aesthetic to it.
Okay. And much better graphics, obviously.
Yeah, the graphics are good. They remind me of GTA 5, but even better than that. You know, it's got that real cityscape, like kind of beautiful cityscape to it. Well,
the city's trash. Right?
What's that?
The city's like run down.
Yeah. I mean, it's practically abandoned, but big, tall buildings, cars.
Like, gotcha.
I was really surprised, especially with the subterranean areas, how unrepetitive the areas were. It seemed like every room would be a real room in a real sewer with real machines spaced out the real way. Like all of that, I was like, oh, wow, cool. Because, you know, you play these games and you see the same, like Fallout, you see the same room with different stuff in it 50 times in the first hour, you know?
Yeah, and that's something GTA 5 did really well, too.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So, yeah, I think
overhyped for this game.
I think playing, all of us playing this together will definitely up the whole thing.
Yeah, but I'll only get you guys to play for like a week because it's an MMO and you guys will get bored and move on. But anyways, that's another story.
I like this one, dude. I think we should play it.
All right, I'm down.
Okay, the other big story, Street Fighter V, we got our hands on it. We played it on the console, but I don't think that really has anything to do with it because I've heard the exact same complaints from people on the PC and everything. Basically, you're not getting much of a game here. You're getting 1v1 fighting game, which is pretty good and very polished. All of that works, but that's it. Hardly any story, no AI whatsoever. You can beat the game. A little girl, a 5-year-old girl can probably beat this game without getting hit. All you have to do is walk forward and push any button.
Really?
You're going to win. They do throw out attacks sometimes, but there's basically no AI at all put in. I even put it on hell difficulty and had no difficulty. So it was really weird. I guess some famous manga artist did all the art for the panel stories, but it's like there's three fights, so you get three sets of panels for each character with some voice acting, and each fight to unlock those three things are one round against this zombie fucking, I'm saying zombie because it's the intelligence of a zombie. Like, it doesn't matter what character it is. They just all suck. They're all terrible. So I played the ones where I was curious about their story, but man, and the other thing you tell, it was rushed. Some of the little backstories and panels are like really nicely done with a lot of voice acting, and other ones, it's just like hardly anything at all.
Were you disappointed? I mean, they what, only have 16 characters right now?
Yeah, but that's part of their whole thing about how they make
it. It's just unacceptable this day and age, I think, in a fighting game. And
well, it depends what is it, $60?
I think it's a full price game.
Yeah, that I think is, that's what they're charging.
That is utterly ridiculous. Yeah. You could charge 20 or 30 for this and charge for characters later. That would be okay, but $60 for, guys, I'm telling you, it's like 20% of the game. But that 20% is probably the most important because the actual fighting is pretty good. Oh, and by the way, I'm so much better than Chad and Street Fighter.
Yeah,
We ended the night at 86% victories over here.
86? You are crazy.
Yeah, it was lower. It was like 60 something, but then you said, okay, last three with your best guy.
Oh, that's right.
I won the last three, so it ended up at 86.
I was trying out characters that I wanted to see what they were like.
Oh, and shut up.
Around, and he was playing his good characters the whole time.
Not even close. I just work, Chad. It's all right, though.
So is the idea with this game that they're going to eventually add these parts in later?
Yeah, that's the idea. But honestly, my whole theory is that Capcom is in dire straits. They needed money right now. They put this game out way before it was they should have, just so they could get an influx of money so that they could finish this game. It's that bad.
But yeah, I think it was this like is Kickstarter, one of the, basically.
Yeah, without telling anybody.
Yeah.
Does it ever? It has happened a few times where a company goes down, but their IPs have been picked up by other people, right?
Yeah.
Street Fighter would definitely be picked up by somebody at some point. So
they can sell the Street Fighter brand for hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah. I mean, look what happened to Duke Nukem. That changed hands so many times.
Yeah.
And the only thing sucks. The only thing I can say that I kind of like about this is the fighting has been dumbed down considerably since 4. So if you found 4 to be too complex and all, this is a nice starting point for new people and myself. You know, I never done ultra cancels and stuff like that. I was never one to do this, but I jumped into the training mode and I was able to do ridiculous things pretty easily. They dumbed it down considerably, so. But didn't take away any of the action, I don't think. The graphics are, I mean, it's so similar to 4, but I would just say a little more simple, maybe a little more polished as far as the graphics.
Yeah, it's basically 4. I feel like they should have just added these characters to 4, but I think they wanted to change the fighting style. I think the complaint with 4 was it was overly complicated, overly precise. You had to frame cancel with too high a degree of accuracy. So the really good players loved 4 because you needed that high level of degree and they could show that off. But the average player who played Street Fighter didn't want to be able to do their 3 or 4 hit combos and pull them off with a reasonable degree of success. And I heard, you know, Street Fighter 4 just wasn't that, you know? So
yeah, like now you can just activate your, what is it called? The V gauge or whatever?
V stance.
Yeah, you can, and it's different for every character, but you can throw out crazy combos during your V combo. You just activate it, and then suddenly your character is overpowered for a little while, and you know, that adds, it can get your confidence up, and you're like, oh, you know, put things together slowly, as opposed to not knowing the 15 hit combo right off the bat and losing every match.
Yeah.
So.
And right now, the character select screen feels like Street Fighter 2, you know, like everybody's kind of got their niche and all. But I would like to have seen twice as many characters as we have right now.
Yep.
But
cool.
Do you have any interest in playing Bobby?
Nah, not really.
And I really think players should show their displeasure to Capcom by not buying this game right now. Like, yeah, this, sure. This is not a finished product, and you know, I don't think people should be buying. This is a affront to gamers and the quality of games that should be released. So
maybe this could have been. This would have been an early beta.
Yeah,
what I would call it.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It seems so strange that they released this just as if it were a normal game. That's such an odd way to do it. No beta, no alpha, no nothing at all.
They did a little bit of a beta for like a week or two to check their net code, but that was about it. So
yeah, which was terrible on day one. One of our listeners, I think it was X-Flag Picker, said he waited like 6 hours to get in his first match.
Really?
But then he said by the next day it was a lot less. So either they worked on it or he got lucky. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It's just hard first day on anything because there's so many people that hit, you know, servers so suddenly and all. It just takes a little bit to get everything up and running.
And fucking, of course, Bobby's not going to play this. Have you seen him on a controller?
Yeah. He looks like he's playing with his feet. But he's still better than me, which is pissing me off.
I know that you meant, like, playing the controller with his feet, but I envisioned him literally playing with his own feet. I was like, what is he talking about?
Bobby's thrilled about that. All right, let's get into Overwatch a little bit because they did a new patch out.
Love it. Love this game so much.
So the patch basically mostly changed turret type guys. So Sebastian and Torbjorn both took hits to it. I haven't played a whole lot since the patch. Mila, what do you think?
Bastion, they did a good job with him. I believe he's, you know, they took away his armor bonus that he gets when he gets in turret mode, which makes him less powerful, but he can run and gun a little bit more now. Chaborn or whatever, they went too far with him. Nobody's playing him anymore. His turrets just, there's just nothing to him anymore.
They're just falling apart.
Yeah, you're better off with two Bastions than a Chaborn and one of these guys. So, anyway, a couple of things that I didn't mention about this game that, just some other things that I love. You can see as you're running towards the action, you can see the corpses of your teammates through the walls. And right away you can discern. It basically makes you a better player because it forces you to be. If you're walking out there and you see five corpses, you're like, hey, I'm running into a fucking suicide mission. Of course I'm going to wait for my guys to respawn and come in all together. Like, that's one of my biggest flaws as a gamer in, like, TF2 and stuff like that. I don't wait for everybody else. But if you attack in concert with your teammates, of course you're going to have a lot more impact than you otherwise would. And the other thing that I really like is that it seems like they're listening to the notes from the people that are playing them, because almost all of our concerns as we bring them up are being dealt with, except for Jackass McGree or whatever. What's his name?
McCready?
No, I meant Reaper. Reaper, he's the only one that he needs to be toned down, but I don't know if they're going to do it if they haven't done it by now. But anyway, just great game. Been playing it. I probably put 20 hours in this week. So much
fun. It's going to be cool when it comes out because I'll be like level 35 and you'll be level 1.
I'm so sick. All I'm doing is unlocking shit for Chad.
I love it. I'm so excited. I'll be like shiny and sparkly and you'll be like fucking Matt Gray, and I'll still be getting killed all the time, and you'll be running around. It'll be funny.
Actually, my theory is that they're going to reset the stuff, because you can't even buy things right now if you wanted
to. Yeah, you can.
You could? Oh, okay.
You're earning those credits, and then the price is listed, so you can use your credits to then buy stuff.
Oh, and another thing, too, is like, you know, there's characters that just turn me off right away, you know, you judge a book by its cover. And then eventually, you know, I play so much that I'm like, okay, I'll try this or try that. And
You played Mai, didn't you? Or Mei.
Is that the ice girl?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one, dude.
Did I call it or what?
She's so good. Because I hate the way she looks and all that, but man, she is really, really good. She's like she's basically an ice pyro. And if you burn somebody long enough or freeze them, they actually freeze solid. And then you can hit him with your heavy attack. She can make herself invulnerable and heal herself, like, in this cocoon at any time for, like, good amounts of time. So that you can draw the entire team onto you, and then you could just negate all of that, and then everybody's looking at you, and then your team can come in and sweep in. She's a lot of fun. Super annoying. And she has a mirror wall.
Yeah, her wall is so annoying.
Yeah.
Like, she was one of the characters they highlighted at BlizzCon last year.
Yeah, she's cool, but annoying as hell.
And, you know, I started, you know, the girl that I talked shit about last time, the big Russian chick.
Zarya.
Yeah, she's like a tank that buffs, I mean, that shields other people and herself. The problem is, if you're in the tank, you have to be in front, but then to shield people, you have to turn around and shield them. So she still doesn't work for me, but I have seen her played very well. It's funny because the more her shields absorb, it goes into your gun and you can do more damage with it. So she gets stronger the more effective you are with your shielding. So, yeah, just try them all out if you're happy to be playing this.
And I'm wondering how often they're going to come out with characters. Is this going to be a MOBA style game where they're going to release a character a month, or is this going to be more of, you know, see how the game looks and see what holes they should fill or what need they have? Because you could do it either way, and I think it would still be valid. But
well, I think there's two things going for it. It's so simple. Like, there's not much to learn about each character. They have three abilities, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
But standard smart play will get you around pretty much. There's not like, oh, I have to fight this guy exactly like this to beat him. If you're playing well and you're aiming right and you've got good positioning, you're always going to come up on top. So it doesn't matter how many characters there are. So I'm all for them making tons and tons of characters.
Yeah, me too.
There are little things like Winston, where you want to be inside his bubble when you fight. You want to be inside of his bubble when you fight him, up into a certain point or get out of there. But generally, you know, a turret is a turret, whether it be Bastion or Tabor. You know, you just treat them the same way. That's pretty much it. Yeah. So I think just keep bringing them. Yeah, do it like a MOBA. But there's not that concern that Bobby usually has, where you have to think about every intricacy and every paper, scissors, rock he has with everybody, because it's a shooting game. Anybody can take anybody out at any point, and that's based on your skill, aerial awareness, and how many teammates you got around you. Really, mostly how many teammates you have around you. So,
true. Yeah. Bobby, does it bother you that we talk about this game and you can't even play it?
I will get my hours in on that game when it comes out.
Yeah, you will.
Oh, Chad, what do you think about them giving you points for synergies? Like, if you work together with somebody else really well, there should be bonus points. I was thinking like ultimate synergies, maybe like combos.
Yeah, I mean, how would points matter? Weren't you talking about this regarding the swindle? Like, people just give you points, and they're like, who cares? Well,
points ends up in bigger XP, which means more unlocks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, yeah. For sure.
Anyway, it was just an idea, because some of the ultimates are much more synergistic than others.
Yeah.
And, man, it gets pretty fucking crazy, especially when the area control map. Okay, I'll stop talking about Overwatch. But I feel sorry for all the other people that are trying to make these character-based shooters. Good fucking luck being better than this. Good luck. Just hang it up, dude. Go fucking make a roguelike, because it's just not gonna work.
Wow, that's strong wording, but I like it. All right, Bobby, tell us about XCOM 2.
XCOM 2. Well, we already talked a little bit about that.
Yeah, but you said they're working on. There's some issues that's going on in XCOM 2. I haven't even heard about these.
We haven't talked about XCOM 2 at all.
Oh, really?
We talked
about it before the podcast.
Yeah.
Getting confused here. This different environment for recording has got me thrown off.
Yeah. Be right back. But go ahead.
Are you literally peeing? Okay. Wow. We got to deal with a pee break.
Super. Well, he's the one person that could comment a lot on this, too, because I've got a little bit to say about XCOM 2, but I think it'd be better if we had him here.
All right. Talk Killing Floor or Puzzle Room, then.
All right. I kind of want him to be here for the puzzle room too. Killing Floor 2, Payday 2, I've been dipping in a little bit to these two games. Man, Payday 2, they have just really, really gone down the bullshit tree with the DLC. They have so much DLC. They've got one based on this dude, Alesso, which I guess is some sort of music artist. I don't know. I'm not too into music anymore these days. But basically, the level is you're at a concert for this guy, and you've got to do... You've got to do your usual heist thing, but something goes wrong and you have to man the controls for the pyrotechnics for his show while you're doing the heist. Like, okay. They're really stretching it here.
Hey, if they're making money on this stuff, then I don't know.
They are plugging themselves out to everything. They've got a Goat Simulator crossover. Yeah, they had a Leopard Dead crossover in the first game.
We should hit them up and see if they want to do a DLG crossover.
Yeah, they probably would. They got a Hotline Miami crossover. Like, they are seriously – I love this game, but I just feel like they are just doing absolutely everything they can. You know, they had that thing with the keys where people got really upset where they were doing a TF2 or Counter-Strike – style system where you could get the keys and the chests and unlock them, or you had to buy the keys for money and unlock them, which they went back on, and now you can get those as drops. But there's so much DLC. There's so many guns. There's so many masks and customizations that I'm just lost in it now. The core gameplay is fun, but it just – I don't know. It seems a little too much at this point for me to really enjoy it.
I feel ready for Payday 3, right?
I don't think that's ever going to happen. It's kind of like Killing Floor 2. They really just sunk their teeth into this one. They're like, this is, you know, we had our start with Payday 1. We kind of got a feel for it. Now we have Payday 2, and we're just going to drop everything on this game and milk it for everything that we can.
Well, they're going to, it's going to slow down enough that they're going to feel like they need to do a new one. Yeah. The Payday series is awesome. And if you have four people playing that game, that's some of the most fun you can do with four people, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it is a fun game. Like I said, I do enjoy the core gameplay. It's still very hard to do stealth, although I think they've tried to make some accommodations for that. They've got this new whole new system now where you can level up basically your account. You can spend points into another talent tree that gives you the same kind of bonuses. Like, just you can level up into these five different trees and they give you bonuses no matter who you play. So I don't know. It's just if there were a new person coming into this game, I think it might be a little overwhelming. As someone who's played a lot of it already, I kind of understand what's going on, but there's just so much shit involved now.
Yeah.
But isn't that those extra talent trees? Isn't that like after you filled out your first one?
Kinda. It's like the, what is the thing that League has? They've got the page or something where you get
masteries. They got masteries.
Yeah, the masteries, you get those, and it doesn't matter who you play. It applies to whatever character you happen to be playing. It's like a global talent tree. Yeah.
Well, you can set them up dynamically for the match that you're playing in, but runes, I think runes are more set up.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. I don't know League of Legends very well.
Yeah.
Yeah, runes, I think.
Yeah, so that's been my experience with those two games. Killing Floor 2 is still great. Still a lot of people playing it. I think I checked the other day. There's around 1,800, 2,000 people still playing it. Really like the new boss, the Patriarch. He's been out for a while. Good stuff happening there. Wish you guys would pick that up.
What Killing Floor 2, though, is still in considered early access, right?
Yeah, I think so. I don't think they've fully released it yet.
I feel like games like this, like they'll do the early access. And then what hype do they have left to, like, get that extra boost when they go live, you know what I mean? Or is this going to be just kind of a soft launch?
You can do it right. Like, if you come up with, like, a DLC on day one or something the size of a DLC on day one, that'll bring a lot more eyeballs. But, yeah, you're never going to get that initial launch date.
Yeah. I mean, they do what they can. They've got those big patches that they'll release on launch day sometimes, sometimes not, or they'll go out to all the like I noticed with Darkest Dungeon, when that actually was fully released, then everyone started writing about it. They could officially review it. Everybody was streaming it on Twitch, and it did kind of bring up that awareness about the game.
Either did it right, or it's just such a good game that it transcended, you know, that mistake or whatever, and maybe Killing Floor 2, I don't know.
Well, I just wonder, like, you mentioned 1,800 people playing. is there ever going to be more than 1800? Like, if it ever goes live, are they going to?
When the game initially launched, I think it started out around 7,000, 6,000. So it's been declining, which is normal from there. Yeah, it's still really easy to get into a match. But I don't know. When they officially launch this, I'm not sure what they're going to do to get everyone to jump back into it.
Gotcha. Okay.
Although I got to say, Killing Floor 1, I never started playing it or never even tried it until one of the crazy DLCs that they did way down the road that attracted me for some reason. Because this is one of those games where there's just, it's kind of like Payday 2 where it's like DLCs for days. But there was one I was like, oh, this is cool. And then I checked it out. So maybe if they do something like crazy or like unprecedented, I don't know what it's going to take. But
I don't know if they're going to do DLC before they actually release the game, but it's possible.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying. Maybe like two DLCs on day one or something to bring a lot of old players back and to bring new players in. Mm-hmm. Something big like that.
But there might be an argument that why didn't you include that with the base game? Why isn't that just a patch instead of a DLC that you have to buy? Right. People might react negatively to that.
No, not pay for, but just.
Oh, like it would just really be like a content update.
Yeah. Like what Dr. Slim's in there.
Yeah, and that's probably the route that they'll take.
Yeah, probably. So, Chad, you want to explain why every time I walk by your room, Laura's dying?
Is Laura dying somewhere?
On your screen, every time you're playing Tomb Raider, Laura's dying.
Oh, we're talking Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I like to see her die. I'm into that sort of thing, you know? a little BDSM and all, yeah. Sometimes you
enjoying it?
Yeah, dude, I'm loving it. Which is funny because when you reviewed the game, you were talking about how you love the story, and then you'd have to collect six fucking things, and then you pulled out of the story. I'm the complete opposite. I'm like running around the map the whole time trying to collect things and like unlock all the different little secrets and find all the hidden coins. Yeah. And then eventually I'll be like, fuck, I can't do anymore. I got to play more of the story to see.
Sure. We can do more of it.
Yeah, but I love the story. I mean, the story is really good. I'm not complaining about the story, but that's just the type of player I am. I like to like run around and try to like get all the little things and make sure the map is fully done before I go to the next spot. So,
no, don't get me wrong. Like, I want to unlock all the secrets, but the shrubberies, I don't think I should have to unlock shrubberies.
Well, the shrubberies and all that stuff is like, they just keep respawning. There's no like limit. Right. You use them to do the different like arrows and crafts and stuff like that. So, you know, and I am doing an easier level difficulty than I am. You were watching me play for a little bit and you were just laughing how I was killing guys with body shots and stuff. And you were having,
didn't you kill a couple guys with insults?
Yeah.
A couple guys they're like, fuck, it's not worth this torment.
It's not like I'm doing the easy mode. I'm doing the normal mode. Like, it's not like I picked the easiest mode.
But generally in this game, the things that are killing me are environmental. They're not the
exactly
anyway. So I don't even know what the difference is really, except for you can kill somebody with an arrow through the chest and they left my arrows off.
Yeah, I think the big difference between yours and mine is I can heal during combat and you can't. But combat rarely lasts long enough to like make that really different.
Well, I can use a healing. I can use like gauze and stuff or whatever that is.
Yeah.
That, but you naturally regain hit points.
Yeah, apparently. But gotcha. Like combats are always so quick that I don't really. But you know, I think I'm like 25% of the way through or so.
Cool.
I'm just loving it. I don't know.
Do you like the side tombs? The tombs that.
Oh, for sure. Like I said,
I'm my favorite part of the game.
I'm a completionist. I love going through all those little side things and seeing all those little things, but. What do you think about the marketplace outside and the idea of cards and all that stuff? Have you even
cards?
Okay, I guess that's a no.
No, seriously, what cards?
So when you get into the main menu, instead of clicking continue, you can scroll. You can go down to the thing that says marketplace that usually has like an exclamation point flashing on it.
Okay.
You can earn like credits doing things in game. And then you can spend your credits to unlock card packs. And so you can unlock card packs. And, for example, it would be like you start with no ammo plus 20%. And I think what you do is you can use these cards.
Like modifiers?
Yeah, they're multipliers. So you can do negative ones which give you a bonus to your score, or you can do positive ones, which give you a negative to your score, but then you can rerun missions to try to, you know, beat the score or get the top score or whatever. And I think this is designed, like, after you play the game and you want to continue to play the game, but you want to play it in different ways, I think this is a way that you can do that.
Or a way for them to get some microtransaction money in the meantime.
Well, I haven't really seen a micro... There is, like, packs that you can buy, but I haven't really... It hasn't really
pushed... That's what I'm talking about, though.
It hasn't really pushed the microtransaction, but maybe if you're really into the game and you want to play a bunch of times, I don't know. But I think it was kind of an interesting thing. So I'll see after I beat the game if I want to. Maybe I'll try out a couple of these packs and see what happens. But
I bet there's some like super rare ones like God Mode where you can't die, or maybe one that makes you fly, stuff like
well,
that.
Well, there are rarities, and so you can get like a silver pack which gives you maybe a chance at a rare, or you can get a gold pack which guarantees you a rare. So I don't know. It's kind of interesting.
How much are these packs?
Right now I've just been using credits that you kind of earn playing the game to open these. So I don't know if you can even buy the packs because it doesn't show a price listing or anything like that.
So I should buy some packs, is what you're saying.
You should have earned money to just open packs naturally. So instead of just clicking continue as soon as you boot the game up, you might want to look around in that front end.
Yeah, fuck that noise.
Okay. But yeah, I'm having a blast with this game. I love Tomb Raiders. They are just so fun for me. But yeah.
I'm glad that you agreed that she's not as cute as that.
She's not, but she...
She's still attractive.
She feels more real to me. Like,
no, for sure.
I felt like the last game, she was like a supermodel kind of look. And this game, she's cute, but not like super hot. So like, I feel a little more like, okay, this is could be a real person going around and doing these things because she's not being offered money to just look pretty. You know what I mean?
Yeah, maybe Bobby will be able to accept it a little
stomach bit. Stomach the game.
A little easier to swallow if she's not super hot.
Maybe. You know, I was interested in playing it, but apparently, I think I mentioned this, since I've installed Windows 10, I don't have Chad's games on Family Share anymore. And I thought it was under Emilio's.
You can't. This is, we're both playing Team Tom's game.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Well, there you go.
Well, I can wait.
Did you want to talk?
Wow, he just said he'd rather wait than talk to Team Tom. Wow.
No, I don't have his games added either.
Yeah. Talk XM2 and Puzzle Room. Well, now that Emilio's back.
You know, I'll save the Puzzle Room story for another day. That's a minorly funny observation I made, but XCOM 2. So
what's these bugs? That's what I want to know.
They're not bugs. They're just talking about chugging
and operating rate.
Performance issues.
Yeah,
I have noticed a little bit better performance. Not a huge jump, a little bit better, but it's hard for me to really judge how much of that is due to the patch and how much of that is due to some of the mods that I've been using, particularly the Don't Waste My Time mod.
And how did that play out? I haven't played since that came out. Do you notice right away?
What are you talking about, the patch or
the mod?
Oh, the mod? Yeah, the mod's great. It saves you little bits here and there, seconds here and there, but really that's a big problem that I've had with these turn-based games is sometimes waiting too long for these animations to play out. But XCOM takes it another step and it actually just pauses after you make a move for like 2-3 seconds. And yeah, 2-3 seconds isn't a long time, but that gets really annoying when it happens so many times. Another thing that I noticed is there's a section of the game where you have to wait to continue. And I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about this game, and they said if you hit caps lock, it immediately pops up and says, do you want to continue? And what was happening was they made the game so it renders all the frames or builds all the buildings or whatever beforehand, and then you load into it. If you hit caps lock, you can just go right into it, and that stuff happens kind of on the fly. So it could cause a crash, but most likely not. So And the game does feel a little slow at times, not the actual gameplay, but just waiting around for things to happen.
I think people need to calm down a little bit. It's such a great game. I stuttering and stuff like that doesn't bother me as much as other, like I was playing Batman. I was having a good time, even though the whole world was crying about the frame rate. So maybe it's a personal thing where it doesn't bother me that much. Yes, it should be optimized on day one, but it wasn't, but it will be. So just calm down and enjoy the game because it's still fantastic.
Well, a lot of these problems can be solved just by turning down the graphics settings too. So yeah, it's not a game breaking issue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just not optimal. That's all.
I need to get into this game. I mean, I can now play it off of Millos, but
no, I haven't bought it.
Who are you playing it off of?
Bobby.
Oh, Bobby. Yeah.
this is how we play our games now.
Circle jerk. This is a big gaming circle jerk.
Yeah. Right? Well, you know, that's kind of reminiscent of the old days of gaming where, you know, someone would have a game and other people would borrow it when we just had cartridges. So
or back way back in the day when the game had 10 floppy, five and a quarter floppy discs. I remember, God, what was that game called?
There's no DRM, right, Chad?
Yeah, no, there was no DRM. Are you kidding?
You just installed it into as many computers as you wanted to, right?
God, I'm trying to remember what Planet's Edge, this game called Planet's Edge, which is a great game. I highly recommend it. I remember in middle school or something, bringing the box in with the 12 floppy disks to give to my buddy, and it came with a map, and I was like, dude, you can't lose this map because we can't play this game if we don't have the map. So yeah, that was fun back in the day.
Bobby, you do understand that you get all of my cards after I play, because I don't care about my cards. Can you please just leave your games unlocked? I haven't played XCOM 2 since I talked about it because your shit's always locked up.
Well, you can always text me and I can turn it off. It's really easy for me to do that. And I haven't had it on like half the week.
The best is because listeners, I don't know if we brought this up before, but we have a three-person text that we're always texting each other about. And Amila will always be texting Bobby, hey, Bobby, can you turn your stuff off? And then sometimes it'll be like an hour or two later, he'll just respond with, I guess not.
Yeah, like meanwhile, or he'll be like, yeah, I'll get on that. But it's been 2 hours have passed. That was my gaming window. Yeah. So, yeah, it was just Born and Overwatch till then.
Hey, but keep earning me my levels on Overwatch. So, Bobby, don't open your games up.
Yeah, talk about looking to get force in the mouth. I'm fucking bitching about my free game. Hey, there's not enough free. I need more free.
Yeah, we need more free up in there. Yeah.
All right, so moving on, everybody?
Yep.
Okay, cool. TF2 is adding a competitive mode. They talked about it. They announced it, but that's pretty much it. So I guess, you know, they're going to try to do what they did with Counter-Strike and have a ranking system and all that stuff. Too little, too late. Overwatch coming, bitches. Sorry.
It seems really odd to add a competitive mode at this point. I think people have tried to make TF2 competitive, but that's just really not the nature of the game.
I couldn't agree more. I've watched competitive matches, and these guys are doing wizardry. They're wizards. They're just flying through the air, doing ridiculous stuff that an average person or somebody who hasn't been playing for years won't even understand what's going on. It's not like Counter-Strike where everybody can understand running around, shooting the guy that you saw, maybe throwing a grenade to distract them. That, you know, with some cover-based tactics or whatever. It's kind of like why the UFC is doing so well worldwide. Everybody understands the rules inherently. Oh, this guy's just trying to knock this guy out. You know, it doesn't have to be explained like American football, which hasn't spread it out. It's just way too complex. So that's my whole feeling on this. It's just like when you're watching the pros play this game, it's ridiculous. It doesn't even make sense. Just people are literally flying through the air, doing ridiculous things.
So, you guys are both big into TF2, and you guys love it, and you guys still play it a bunch. You guys aren't excited about the possibility of having a competitive mode and a ranking system at all?
Overwatch, dude.
Yeah, but, I mean, this is a Valve game. Valve generally tends to do things right.
This is an announcement of TF3. It would prick up my ears.
What they do with TF3? They would just make TF2 with a new skin, right? Like the class systems. I mean, when we talked to Evan Lottie, he pretty much explained like TF2 is kind of in the perfect place right now. I'm kind of curious to see what competitive people can do with it. I don't know.
If there's one thing that I'm interested in is seeing where I stack up versus everybody. Because I generally will take over a team when I start playing. Like, I'll rise to the top pretty quickly, usually, even now. But I don't globally. I mean, I constantly run into people that just own me. I would say at least every third day there's somebody that I can't kill, or it just owns me outright. So as far as globally, I don't know where I rank. So to that extent, yeah, I want to see where I stack up. But besides that, you know, I don't know if I'll be watching competitive matches. Like, what I said,
what I'm kind of curious is how they're going to change the game to make it competition friendly. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sit there watching a 20-minute payload map and then expect the other side to go and then do the same thing. So how are they going to change the game to make it a competition-style game is kind of what I'm curious on.
Yeah, they're going to have to do things to speed up certain maps, at least to make it enjoyable to watch as an e-sport.
Maybe single elimination, kind of like Counter-Strike, where if you die, you die. Maybe.
Yeah.
That's just an idea.
It seems a little too extreme.
Well, maybe they're going to do a whole new map type that's specific for a competition mode, or, you know, like, yeah. they could do a couple things that could be interesting. So, I don't know.
We won't know until it's out. We could just speculate for now.
Yep.
In the news, the HTC Vive came out with a $799 price tag, which is right in the middle of my two guesses. So, but it's going to come with two games, two controllers, and two monitors. Monitors being the things that track you in your room, these little black boxes, mini obelisks that I'm going to worship, basically. Yeah, that's what I was pretty much thinking. I was hoping 700, but, you know, realistically 800. But like I said, this is what you're paying for a top tier monitor, or like a mid to top tier monitor. So, you know, it's a luxury device. No, you don't need it. So it has a luxury price, and that's the way I look at it. I'm going to wait till the initial reviews, compare those reviews with the Oculus reviews, and from that I'll extrapolate which one of these two beasts I want. But one of these is getting bought. That's pretty much it this year.
Yeah, I'm going to let you get it, and I'm going to play around with it and see if it's worth getting. But
you have a big sweaty head, dude. You can't be putting on my...
Oh, I'm gonna be naked, too, and sitting on your... on your gaming computer.
Dude, chips. If you buy this thing, it'll literally be worth more than 90% of your entire gaming setup.
What are you talking about? I got a high-class rig right in there. Granted, I'm playing on a $20 desk with a $15 chair, but other than that, my keyboard I probably bought in 1989, and my two-button mouse. Actually, mouse is all right.
Hey, Chad, what kind of keyboard do you have? Well, it says Microsoft.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much it, right? No numbers.
The internet had just come out, because it's got about 15 buttons to get you on the internet and to do different things. I think there's an AOL button on there or something.
Let's say it was a Pornhub button now.
It's got Netscape as one of the options that you can press.
Auto launches Netscape Navigator.
We actually have a listener question that we didn't list up here on our show notes that I wanted to get a little bit into, kind of just bring up this week. Our listener 7 before 8 raised a question asking about Steam Controller. We haven't really talked about Steam Controller. It's out now, right? These are live and out in the public.
I believe so.
Yeah. They're offering a deal with it, with XCOM 2.
So,
oh man, it's a real tough sell. I think the only game that comes integrated for it is XCOM 2, and that's why, you know, it's being pushed with it. But, and Xbox controllers probably wouldn't be great for XCOM 2. So, they're pretty much, I think it's geared towards strategy games, but it's a really hard sell for me. Xbox controllers work perfectly for all kind of platforming games. They're kind of optimized for them. I don't see a reason to buy one. And the initial reviews, everybody's kind of like iffy on it. Maybe people will be able to do good things with it once they start programming it and stuff like that. But for now, I think I would stay away from this.
Well, honestly, you know, coming from a background that I've kind of seen the inside workings of how this kind of thing works, this is actually a new peripheral. People think it's just another controller, but it's not. Like, you have to specifically design your programs to be able to utilize this stuff, and Valve is trying to make it as easy as possible to do that, but you still have to kind of design your game around this. So I think the games that are coming out now obviously just aren't designed to be used for the Steam controller, but I think as time goes on and new games become released, now that this is a viable piece of hardware, I think games will take more and more advantage of it. And I don't know, maybe down the road you can play Dota 2 on a controller. I mean, that would be crazy for me to see a game like Dota 2 or StarCraft or something like that being played on a controller. And obviously you're not going to get the same experience as a mouse and keyboard, but if you got 90% and you're able to sit on your in the living room and do it, isn't that kind of worth it? You know,
I'm not saying it's not the move. I'm just saying it's definitely not the move right now.
Yeah, I mean, if you don't have an Xbox controller at this point, you're kind of doing PC gaming wrong at this point. You know, I feel like the Xbox controller is kind of a necessity now with PC gaming. And honestly, it's one of the reasons why I don't have a console, really, is because the way that, you know, the Xbox controller has been integrated into the PC market. So, if I go over there and you say you're a PC guy and I don't see an Xbox controller, I kind of wonder what you're doing.
Well, I mean, some people only play strategy games, or I totally understand.
True.
But yeah, I mean, so many roguelikes.
And you're only playing Age of Wonders and all. But if you're playing...
I think currently, right now, he's on Civ 2.
Okay.
Civ 2.
If you're Big Sec and you're playing Civ 2, then... But what I'm saying is, it's another piece of hardware, and it's relatively cheap. It's, what, $50 for the wireless one?
Yeah.
And so many games take advantage of it, and it's super easy to set up. There's no setup. You just plug it in, and it works. So... hopefully the same thing can be said with the Steam controller down the road, but I agree with Emilio. I don't think right now this is the right time. But that being said, neither of us have actually sat down and played with it, so maybe we'll play with it at some point and give us our honest feedback on it.
Bobby?
Yeah, I don't see any use for it right now.
Do you see any use for any controller, though, Bobby?
No, yeah, the Xbox controller works great for some things. I mean, there still are a few games that I think the Xbox controller is the preferred peripheral, but yeah. I feel like the Steam controller, it was a little unneeded. In the future, maybe there will be a use, but it's hard to say.
I think Steam controllers are for Steam boxes, and Steam boxes are for...
Well, they were trying to make a controller that didn't suffer from the same problems that the other controllers did. Like, there are games where you are limited by using a controller, RTS games, things like that. But I don't know if a controller is the way to go. I mean, it's so hard to beat what we've come up with on a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah. But like I said, I think a Steam controller should be there for... when you want to be able to get to 90% of the way to mouse and keyboard, and you're willing to sacrifice that 10% so you can sit on your couch and play in your living room, you know, you're not looking for a one-to-one gameplay experience. You're looking for almost the same gameplay experience, but you're enjoying life a little bit better. You're not cramped in your $20 desk playing, you know, with your mouse and keyboard. So
call that noise, dude. By the time this thing is good, we're going to have Minority Report fucking... UI and shit. That's what I'm waiting for. Although even if you're playing a game, swiping your hands around like you're casting spells, fucking your arms are gonna get tired as shit. If you got something tracking your hand,
not these pythons over here.
Cool. You guys got anything else?
I think that's about it.
No.
Speaking for Bobby, speaking for Skype, speaking for Chad and myself.
Yep.
Motherfucking city.